along.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation to this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Preliminary final eve. MG, and I said a couple of weeks back when we had Victor Radley on, I just said I love looking on the run sheet and seeing Victor Radley coming on as a guest. I got a similar feeling today.
Oh.
Because I look down and the name Paul Vorton is on the run sheet.
The fat man will be joining us, and he is just he's a hoot. I love Fatty. And look, it's going to be a good get his perspective on, you know, the game.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's living on the Gold Coast, and Manly, who has Des Hasler at the helm, who as a player or a coach has never lost a prelim. 8 from 8.
Wow, that's Desi Hasler. Incredible record.
Unbelievable.
I reckon he probably would have. I don't think he would have wanted to know that record or had that record brought up in public.
He knows it. He knows it, but he was trying to smother it.
Yeah, okay. Well, Fatty's going to join us. We've also got another TV to give away. We're going to put the Melbourne Storm under the finals focus today. This incredible club that, for those of you that haven't seen it, demonstrated an incredible gesture of goodwill to their fans. Yeah. We'll give you the details of it very, very shortly. But it's a Thursday, and we start Thursdays with this. The man that holds together the NRL family throughout the year here at Triple MMG, Brent Reed from News Corp. Good evening, Reedy.
Hello, gents.
Now, Reedy, expansion. It's been on the cards all year. Negotiations. They had the meeting, the presentations a couple of weeks back. Are we any closer to knowing if we will expand and which team it will be?
Well, we're very close. There was a commission meeting yesterday, and the expectation was at that meeting we would have a definitive answer from the commission about whether they were going to go ahead with it. Now, they haven't given that yet publicly because they still need to talk to the clubs, and they've said they'll take the clubs along on the journey. But you can take it as read that out of that commission meeting, they've made the decision to press the go button on expansion. It will happen. The clubs, I'm sure, will kick up a little stink and try and squeeze some money out of the NRL over it, and probably they're not overly happy with the way it's all been handled. But I think, you know, it's now a formality that will happen, and they'll announce something after the grand final. They don't want to take the shine away from grand final week, so I reckon the week after the grand final we'll have a formal announcement that there'll be a 17th team in 2023. So exciting times.
Awesome times. Exciting. I can't wait. Obviously, Wayne Bennett is the front runner to be the coach of that new team, but who is the hierarchy? Who are the big names behind it? Who are the power brokers?
Yeah, look, I mean, Redcliffe's the prohibitive favourite, and, you know, I'd be stunned if it's not Redcliffe. I think it will be. And Wayne will be involved there. They haven't come out publicly and said they want Wayne, but my expectation is that they will, the minute they get the green light, that Wayne will be the first cab off the rank for them, and I'm sure Wayne will join them. I've got no doubt about that. Player-wise, I think the obvious big names have been thrown around. Look, they want a Queenslander. That, you know, whoever was going to win that expansion bid, their first player they signed was going to be a Queenslander. So I'd imagine that, you know, the big three for me are Cam Munster, Kalen Ponga and Harry Grant. They're the three guys that that I believe they will look at and try and sign at least one of those blokes. So, you know, I think Munster's the most likely because he's only got 2 years left on his deal at Melbourne, but they're the guys. They want to, you know, all those franchises want to sign a Queenslander as their marquee name, and they're the three.
MG, they make the announcement. Redcliffe Dolphins are the new team for 2023. Wayne Bennett will be coaching. Who is the player that must be standing there in a Redcliffe Dolphins jumper for yours?
Ponga.
Go get Kalen.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll wait and see. Oh, look, if they can get Munster as well, I'm sure that they wouldn't mind having both of them. But all right,
Harry Grant doesn't go too bad either.
Well, yeah, if they get Harry Grant, Cam Munster, and Kalen Ponga, we need to start looking into their salary cap. And they haven't even started
on
the
comp yet. I've got to say, there's only one of those blokes. It's not, you know, they're not going to sign all three of them.
I think
they probably won't even sign two of them. It'll be one of those guys because, you know, they're going to have to shell out plenty of money to get them out of the clubs they're currently in.
Fair enough. Very nice. All right. And staying up in Queensland, you broke this news sort of late last night, Reedy, that the Titans captain, Jamal Fogarty, is looking to leave.
Yeah, I had a little item in my column actually on Saturday that the Titans were looking at Jamal Fogarty. And, you know, the word was last night that Jamal was going to ask for permission to negotiate with the Raiders. He's got 2 years left on his deal. Well, the news today is the Titans have rung the Raiders and said there's no way we will be letting Jamal Fogarty go. So it looks like that won't be happening. There's other options for the Raiders. They've also, you know, Dylan Brown was obviously on their radar. They've moved off Dylan Brown now. I think they think that's not going to happen either. Chanel Harris-Tavita is the latest guy that's on, they're looking at. He's got 1 year left on his deal at the Warriors. Now, I think the Warriors would consider letting him go, but they're looking to sign a young kid at Cronulla named Luke Metcalf, who played a couple of games at the end of this year. Cronulla's digging in their heels, so unless they get someone to replace Chanel, they probably won't let Chanel go. So I've got a bit of a curveball here, a bit of left field thinking, right? You want to hear it, guys?
Yeah.
Go for it.
So Canberra wants Jamil Fogarty. The Titans desperately need a hooker. They've needed a hooker for a long time. Josh Hodgson's in the last year of his deal in Canberra. What about a swap?
I love it. I love it. I think it's a win-win for both organisations. I think it's a fantastic idea.
Now, there's an issue, right? The issue is money, because Josh Hodgson's on a lot more money than Jamil Fogarty.
Yep.
But if you can somehow bridge that gap, the Titans desperately need a hooker. You know, and they've let Mitch Rain go. I think Aaron Clark's the only hooker they've got. Josh Hodgson would be perfect for that forward pack, I think. And alternatively, Jamil Fogarty would be perfect for the Raiders, because they just need an organising halfback. So it makes a lot of sense if you can find a way to manoeuvre or figure out the money issues. The other issue is the Gold Coast are one of the clubs in for Brandon Smith. Now, he's got 12 more months left on his contract. You're probably not going to get him next year. If you give Josh Hodgson an added year, give Josh Hodgson 2 years, there might be an overlap with Brandon Smith. But we've seen the way Ricky's used Josh Hodgson in the nation's capital this year. I mean, the Starlings come on and Hodgson's moved to the back row or played in the halves. So you could do that if they get Brandon Smith in 2023. So it can work. They can still chase Brandon Smith and have Josh Hodgson. I think it'd be perfect for the Titans.
Yeah, as always, I love that. I know one thing. I remember last year, about the same time of year, Liam, you asked me about who's the new superstar in the NRL next year. I mentioned Josh Uster. Luke Metcalf is going to be the next year's one, 2022.
Oh, really?
Luke Metcalf from the Sharks. Sharks, don't let him go, because this kid is going to be the Ducks' guts.
There you go. I like that. That is some sort of endorsement from MG. Hey, Reedy, if you're throwing out the player swap, I've got an easy fix for the money. Josh Hodgson is moving from Canberra to the Gold Coast in this hypothetical situation.
Yeah.
He's not going to be having to pay for heating. There's no heating bill like there is in Canberra, and he's not going to be having to buy any of that heavy winter kit either. There's the money difference made up already.
That's true. Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant.
There
brilliant.
We go. We fixed it.
I don't know if his management would go for that, but anyway, I like where you're going with that.
Managers always get in the way.
It makes a lot of sense to me, because, you know, I think the one thing that got, you know, if you look at that Gold Coast spine next year, potentially they've got Jaden Campbell at fullback, AJ Brimson at six. If Fogarty goes, you've got Toby Sexton at halfback. It's a relatively inexperienced spine. So Josh Hodgson would not only fill the void at nine, he'd give you some experience in your spine. Actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, very good. Hey, Reedy, before we let you go, Parramatta, you've hinted that once their season ended that they would have to start locking down contracts and players. How are we looking with some of the big names there?
Well, I think this news on expansion is going to fast track everything. I mean, a lot of sides have got players coming off at the end of 22, and they're the one with the most, probably them in Melbourne. They've got till November 1 to lock those guys down. So I reckon you're going to see some mad activity over the next 6 weeks, because they are frantically going to be trying to lock away the likes of Reed Marnie, Dylan Brown, Gutho, all those guys. So I expect some real movement in Parramatta in the next few weeks.
I like how hip this show has become. MG's calling players the Ducks' guts. Reedy's hinting at mad activity. We're really keeping up with the times. Appealing to the young people. Very good. All right, Reedy.
Frenzied. I should have said frenzied.
No, we're going with mad activity. Reedy, we will see from you. We will hear from you next on Saturday on the Scrum with MG and Gerds and Tony Squires. Quickly, before we let you go, a tip for tomorrow night's game between the Seagulls and the Rabbitohs.
Oh, I hate to say it, given I live on the northern beaches, but no. I think South will win.
Oh, no. Haven't you learnt from Ryan Girdler's mistake?
Sorry, Des.
You don't SHIT where you eat, Reedy.
Yeah.
Who's going to win on Saturday, MG?
Penrith.
Yeah. Very good, Reedy. Yeah.
I know where my bread's buttered.
Well done, Randy. We'll see you Saturday.
See you, brother.
Oh, MG, prelim final on the way. Freedom Day's on the way as well for us here in New South Wales.
It's getting exciting, my friend. It's getting very exciting this weekend. A couple of awesome games of prelim rugby league, but also, you mentioned freedom. The sun's shining, the birds are chirping, and our freedom is a step away.
And you know what you need for Freedom Day? A Mitsubishi Triton. That's exactly the car you need to get you rolling into freedom.
Oh, my goodness.
40 years, the Mitsubishi Triton has been helping Australians get the hard job done. Just get one. Get one ready for Freedom Day.
Get one. Go in now to your local Mitsubishi dealer and order one. And just say, the guys from the rush hour sent you.
Tell them we sent you.
And just tell them that if they say, well, who are the guys from the rush hour, say...
say, please. Say and please, then walk out and go to the other Mitsubishi dealer. let's do this.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour. And here we go again. We put the finals in focus.
Putting every single prelim final team under the finals focus this week. And today, the minor premiers, the dominant sporting franchise in all codes in this country for the last two decades, the Melbourne Storm.
Just in a word, formidable. They are... everyone aspires to be like the Melbourne Storm. And for a team who came into the competition in 1998, they were formed in... I remember when I left the Perth Reds, Western Reds in 97, and there was talk about this new club, you know, and this is kind of flies in the face of relocation and new teams and expansion that you can't get it done. Well, Melbourne got it done in 3 months. Melbourne got it done in 3 months because they didn't, the Western Reds, we didn't know we were folding until October of 97. And by February or March of 98, they had 30 blokes on their roster and they made the finals in the first year they played. Second year they played, they won the comp.
Yeah.
And they've been winning ever since. They're just an unbelievable franchise with an unbelievable culture. And that's, let me emphasize culture, because that is where they start and they begin and they finish, right at that word, because they don't have anyone in there. They had a couple of years there in the early 2000s when they had three or four ordinary years, and they realized they didn't have the right blokes that matched the culture they wanted. They quickly got rid of them blokes, and they quickly got blokes in 2003. Along came a couple of guys called Smith and Slater, as well as a coach called Bellamy. And since then, well, it's been basically success, success, success. And if you don't want success, don't come.
Yep.
But the best thing about it, Liam, as we always say about the Melbourne Storm, they turn rocks into gold.
Yep.
And they do it in a methodical way. They do it with hand-picking players that they want to come to them, like a Remus Smith or a George Jennings or a Dale Finucan. Nico Hines, and they go, you know what, we'll turn you into something if you believe in the process. And there's not much more you can say about Melbourne that's already been said.
The other thing, MG, which I'm sure you've seen, but I'm not sure if everybody would be aware of, that they've done this week, they've appeased the karma gods. They've appeased the footballing and the karma gods, because if you haven't seen it, the Melbourne Storm have pledged that any Victoria-based member who was a member either this year or last year, those members have only been able to see a total of 5 games across the last 2 seasons because of what COVID has done to the NRL. The Melbourne Storm is going to pay for their memberships next year.
Yeah.
That's 23,000 members who are getting free memberships to the Melbourne Storm. It's going to cost the club in the millions of dollars.
Of course it is. But what's money compared? Like I think they collate the success with, if they're successful, the money comes.
You can't put a price on the goodwill they'll be generating.
That is. I've got goosebumps. I've got goosebumps when you said that. I saw the story last night, and I saw their CEO saying it on Fox Sports, and I said, "Wow, what a gesture! What a bloody awesome gesture that is!" And every person who saw that story would be saying the same thing: "Wow!" And they wouldn't do it if they didn't back themselves to be successful. You can't do that if you're a West Tigers.
If you think you're finishing down the arse end of the ladder.
No, you can't. You can't, and they won't be. They, as long as they've got this nucleus of their players who just, you know, keep going, the production line is unbelievable. Oh, look, they're the favourites. They're the overwhelming favourites to win the competition. They should be. They started their season off, I'd say a little bit. They played against Parramatta. I remember they had a couple of arguments between Brandon Smith and Munster,
yep.
And then the same was with Penrith. They we called both them games, and I think Emma Lawrence on the sideline said to us, "Well, there's a bit of drama here for Melbourne because, unlike them, they're arguing with each other." And I think that teething problem issue came from not having Cameron Smith there, who had been there for the last 19 years. All of a sudden, you take your number one player out, the number one player who's played the game, and who's going to be alpha male? Mm. And I think they all kind of they fell into their own niche, and they had to. How do you have the two best hookers in the game? One's coming off the bench if there's no egos.
When the greatest hooker the game just has ever seen just left.
Just left. Come on, man. Come on.
I know we've got
to come on, man, later in the show today, but come on, man. Like, what gives? Brandon Smith, but you know what, but Brandon Smith wasn't this good last year.
No.
Brandon Smith wasn't as good as he's gone next level. And I think he's done it because he hasn't changed who he is. He's so overt with his personality. He's very comfortable in his own skin. And that translates onto the rugby league field. He has fun. Even when he got hit last week by Aloy with an accidental head knock, he's on the ground. He said to Aloy, "Mate, I know it was an accident," and he had a big smile on his face.
Yeah.
Like that, he's a rare commodity. And Harry Grant, well, mate, what other kid with his ability would play off the bench? It's dumbfounding.
It'd be toys out the pram at almost any other club in the comp.
But that's and look at how they beat Manly. We spoke about how they beat Manly. They were so unselfish with each other. Bellamy would have said to Jerome Hughes that week, "Mate, you're not going to get much ball. We've got a tactic. We want to go left side, left slide. And every time we come to the right side, we want you to throw it to either one of the back rowers or Kafusi and get tackled 3-4 metres out from their line." And then Tom Turbo's got an unbelievable unselfishness that they produce. I can't speak highly enough of this club.
There's a bloke by the name of Nico Hines that can't get on the field at the moment because all of a sudden Ryan Pappenhausen's returned from concussion, found his best form. And hey, you want evidence to what MG's talking about? Their bench this weekend for the game, or this Saturday for the game against the Panthers, is Harry Grant, Kama Kamutha, Nelson Asafa-Solomona, and Nico Hines.
Well,
speaks volumes.
Thanks to Harvey Norman. Don't miss a minute of the footy finals action with great deals on Philips TVs.
The finals are here at last.
The Triple M Rush Hours. Telethon.
Oh, the telethon. Everybody loves a telethon, especially when you win TVs. Thanks to our mates at Harvey Norman. Don't miss a minute of the action this footy finals with great deals on Philips TVs. We can't be at the football finals this year, MG. They're all up in Queensland.
But you can have the next best thing, and that's by winning a TV right here, thanks to our good mates at Harvey Norman,
crisp,
as you mentioned.
Picture, clear picture.
Oh, it's like, you know what? Honestly, it's like you're at the game. This thing
it's better than being there, frankly.
This TV speaks to you. our contestant today is Owen from Marrickville. Hello, Owen.
How you going, gents? How are you?
Mate, you've had a bit of a rough trot of late, being in the LGA and being in lockdown.
Yes.
We want to give you this We want to give you this TV, mate. We want to give it to you. So listen carefully.
Yeah, he's got to earn it.
Of course he does. Yeah. You've got to know your rugby league, and you've got to tell us what this moment was of finals footy.
Okay.
John Bateman. Try against Storm in 2019.
Oh, the big O. You know your footy, my man. Let's play it. Play the last clue.
Whose ears aren't as good as our man Owen.
Oh, Bateman! Bateman! Yes! Yes! Canberra are in front! Canberra will take the lead!
I've got goosebumps. Damn, Ganane. Well done.
At his best.
And you're very good because you picked the moment. Now you've got this TV, brother.
Congratulations, Owen.
Oh, thank you very much, gents.
You too, buddy. We got one more TV to give away tomorrow. Still time to register at the Triple M Win page. And you could be walking away with this 65-inch Philips 4K TV.
Bang.
Friday night, Manly taking on the Bunnies for a spot in the grand final. MG, Dez has gone to ground.
Yep.
We have not been able to crack the Manly bunker. We haven't been able to infiltrate in. We haven't been able to get Dez on, players on, and we understand that. They're in siege mode.
Well, after the Storm game, they kind of went a little bit underground, and last week was the same response.
Yep.
This week, the same response, but we've gone for someone outside the square who I think would be even better.
When you can't crack the Manly bunker, you go to a Manly legend, and it is a great pleasure to welcome in friend of the show, Manly legend, Fatty Vaughton. G'day, Fat.
Manly legend. I was surprised I got the call then.
Oh, we should have said no. We should. Okay, we'll start again. And Roosters legend. Sorry.
Oh yeah. Oh no. No. Now you are G'ing up. Oh wow.
Like I was a Tigers legend for a year.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that MG.
I haven't.
Western Reds.
Yeah, Western Reds for a year.
You're still going all right then. You're still playing.
Yeah, I was okay then.
One of the greats.
Yeah.
Would you make the best Western Reds team of all time? Would you give it?
I tell you what, if I didn't, there'd be an inquiry.
Fatty, I'd be a chance of making the best Western Reds team of all time.
Liam, you're probably on the bench, I reckon.
Yeah, I think so. Well, come on for golf.
How are you feeling ahead of Friday night?
Oh, I'm good. I'm excited. I'm really excited because, you know, after four rounds, we're all in the doldrums. But, you know, we were missing our best player and some other players hadn't really got going. And, you know, Des, I spoke to him recently. He said he was always confident that we'd make the semis. I don't know if he thought they'd get this far. But, you know what, the Melbourne game a couple of weeks ago was a real eye-opener for them. It was welcome to semi-final football because a lot of these blokes haven't played semi-final football. So it was a welcome to semi-finals. And I think they learned from that, and you saw what they did last week. You know, they blew the Roosters away. You know, the Roosters were probably cooked after the previous week. That was a tough game for them against the Titans. Mm. And they looked done, to be honest, and they just looked tired and just weren't the same team as we've seen. Injuries have really cost them, the Roosters. But Manly were good. You can only play what's in front of you. And they were really good. So I'm expecting, you know, look, I'm not saying they're specials, they're morals to win. Because South Sydney, when you see what they've done, they're an informed team. They haven't lost form all year. So, you know, they're going to be very hard to beat.
They've been an intriguing team to watch this year, the Seagulls. As you mentioned, Fatty, the first four games, 0-4, and all of a sudden Paul Green was going to Manly to be assistant coach, and Desi's was...
That's right.
Then they won a game against the Warriors, 13-12, with a field goal. And then Turbo come back in round six, and then basically that's all she wrote because...
That's right,
I don't think I've seen, and I've been around footy, you know, I'm 53 this year, and I've been around footy for, you know, 45 of them years. I don't think I've seen an individual player in the top grade be so dominant for so long since he come back from that injury.
Vorton in the 80s?
I was going to say you or Phil Blake.
Yes, not... Yeah, Phil Blake, what a year that was, 1983. Honestly, 27 tries. It was incredible to watch him as a 19-year-old do what he did. You know, the worst thing that happened to Phil was that Des Hasler turned up at Manly. They signed Des from Penrith at the back end of 1983. And Des turned up and he was a halfback for the ages. And in the end, Phil got bumped out to 5'8", then to the centre, then ended up in the wing by 1985, and then he left and went to the Bunnies and was very good there as a 5'8". But, look, you know, yeah, then Tommy came back again. Was it against the Gold Coast out in the bush somewhere?
Yes, Mudgee or something.
I think it was, yeah, Mudgee. It was Mudgee. And he just showed then, you know, how good he was. And, you know, he has scored 3 tries 5 times this year.
I know.
5 times. It's incredible what he's done. And what he did the other day against the Roosters, right? He got back and he charged onto the ball and scored tries, you know, from 5 metres out after the play had gone down the left-hand side. I mean, no, fullbacks don't do that.
No.
But he does. He's absolutely incredible. He turned the whole team around. They all welcomed him back. But I've got to say, there's a couple of unsung heroes in that team who have had great years, and one of them, he's a veteran in Kieran Foran.
Oh, well, how's he good?
He was a great player in the day, and that played in their last premiership win in 2011 with Daly, Cherry Evans. They're the only two surviving players. And then he was at Manly, I think, till 2016. Salary cap hit. Daly signed that big contract for about $2 million a year for 7 years. And then no money left for Kieran. So he went to Parramatta, unhappy, didn't go well. The Warriors, unhappy, didn't go well. Played not bad at Canterbury, but not the Kieran we know. You know what it was for him this year? It was welcome home, Kieran.
Bloody
this is your home. We're so glad you're back. And I'm telling you, his play is really good. He's not as fast as he used to be, but he's got a great pass. His timing's fantastic still. He's still got enough speed to be a factor when it goes to getting to the line. And his defence is rock solid. And he's a veteran that everyone loves there. So, you know, he's been an unsung hero. And you know what? Daly cops a bad rap there for some reason. I don't know why, but his last couple of games, in particular the last weekend, was absolutely brilliant. He was so good.
Well, they've got him finishing in the top five of the Daly M.
Yeah, that was a surprise. So that would be, even I was surprised at that. But obviously, you know, he's polled enough points, and particularly in their comeback. And if it wasn't Tommy, it was Daly who was playing very well. And mate, Angie, you know, how many of the halfbacks? Five.
Yeah,
in the final, mate. Because you know what the halfbacks do, mate.
They hog
it. 1980. Yeah, you know what they do. Well, what they did back in our day, Mike Eden. Remember
him? Oh, yeah. Kicks both feet.
I was Daly M favourite in 1983. Seriously. Peter Brulling got straight, Vorton wins Daly M, blah, 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 right? Mate, I got about 8 votes. Anyway, honestly. But Mike Eden won it. And you know why? Because I remember he was playing for the Roosters at the time, and he's kicking left foot, right foot. But he'd go, oh, you're having a good game, ref. Good work, Kevin. Oh, yeah. Good work, Nick. Oh, you're a good referee, Nick. Oh, mate, please. Halfbacks.
Oh, they're good.
Well, I think Christian Welch said something to the effect last night that it's because of all the halfbacks in the media these days that all the bias is going to them from a voting perspective. So
you could be. Well, you know, that's who they all look at. I mean, mm-hmm. Andrew Johns, he's a perv on halfbacks. He loves that. That's all he talks about. Oh, you got to protect the halfback. No, you can't touch the halfback.
Watch the whiplash.
Oh, no. Please.
Now, Queenslanders have always thought that they were the centre of the rugby league universe, and at the moment they actually are, Fatty. What is like to be in Rugby Leagueville in Queensland and have everything there?
We just don't think it. We know it. It is gold. It's bliss. And I haven't heard one... I seen a few of the players around. Like I saw David Nofaluma at a coffee shop last week because they're done and he was out of the bubble, so to speak. He said, mate, how good is it up here? So we wish that could the Tigers come up here? He's going. So, mate, everyone's happy. You know, I know Manly are up at Sunny Coast. I mean, think of where they're staying, right? Sunny Coast or Gold Coast. Hello? Could it get any better? So, no, you know, it is gold. It's the Mecca. And look, they've taken... What a lot of people don't know is they've just resurfaced Suncorp over the past 2 or 3 weeks. So that's why the games have been going to Mackay and Townsville. So we've got a brand new surface coming up for this weekend's games. So it should be good.
One point I'd like to get your opinion on, Ryan Girdler, who's not that outspoken at the best of times, but on Saturday I was on a show with him called The Scrum, and he basically said that Manly were flat-track bullies, and he's copped it because of it, but he stuck by his guns, and Gerds was pretty adamant that he said, look, they haven't beat anybody yet, and I can't believe they're one game away from the grand final. What do you think about that?
I don't even know what flat-track bullies means, but all you can do in rugby league is beat the teams you come up against. And since the four in a row that they lost, they've been outstanding. And I don't care who they've played. I mean, I know Melbourne put them to the sword a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, you can only do it. And I think they're that good. They're up for the challenge. They're up for the challenge of Souths and then possibly Melbourne. MG, imagine a Penrith Manly grand final. That'll be a first. It's never happened. But, you know, never happened. Ryan's a great judge. He's a good fella, and he's got all the experience. He's played for Australia and New South Wales. So if he says that and believes in it, then I'm glad he's sticking to it. But, you know, my thing is, look, you can only play who's in front of you. And sure, they may not have played against the top teams twice, that being South, Penrith, Melbourne. But, you know, they're ready for them now, I can tell you.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you.
Well, this Friday night, they play off for a spot in the grand final. South Sydney, Manly, your coverage starts with us from 6. Fatty, will you be part of Channel 9's call on Friday night?
I've got the call up this week.
Oh, yeah.
Probably for the Manly game, but Rabs and I think it's Rabs and Joey from the studio back in Sydney from the box.
Yep.
And then I'll be in the box on myself. Anything could happen.
Make sure you keep some of the shine off on players other than just the halfbacks this Friday night on the 9.
Don't worry. We will.
Yeah, outstanding. Fatty, we appreciate your time. Enjoy Friday night.
Anytime, boys.
Almost time for us to finish up, MG. Tomorrow it is on.
Prelim, baby. Prelim final day.
Make sure those butterflies get a good night's sleep, get fed, because tomorrow we are on Manly, South Sydney. Coverage starts with us from 6 o'clock. NRL primetime from 7, and the kickoff 7:50, Suncorp Stadium. Don't be anywhere else. Wendell Saylor will be with us as well. But before we finish up, MG, I wanted to bring a story to your attention.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Wallabies have been going good.
They've won two in a row, and if they beat Argentina this week, it's the first time since 2017 they've won three in a row.
Which is great, because we love the Wallabies, let's be honest. Yeah. Rugby Union
especially when they're winning.
Absolutely. And let's be honest, Rugby Union's been battling. Well, there's a story today in the Sydney Morning Herald by Sam Phillips that World Rugby will implement a 15-minute weekly cap on full contact training after new research showed 35 to 40% of injuries occur during training. Let me just remind.
Pardon?
15 minutes.
A week?
A week.
So what, two minutes a day?
Contact training.
2 minutes a day?
Oh, a touch over 2 minutes
a day. That's what. Come on, actually. Let's press the button, please. Wow. Now, I want you to say that again, please. I want you to just run that quickly by me.
Will implement a 15-minute weekly cap on full contact training after new research showed 30 to 40% of injuries occurred during training.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Just when rugby union's starting to be attractive again, they're taking away the physicality at training. How do you build up resilience to game-related contact without repeating it over and over again at training?
Come on, man.
Look, come on. 2 minutes a day of physical training. Come on, man. What, he's under sixes? Under fives? Okay. Someone's taking the piss, honestly. Like, can you imagine? Can you imagine? I would have loved it when I was playing if the coach said, boys, okay, there's a new study being done. Too many injuries at training. You know what you guys are doing each week? 2 minutes a day of physicality.
Come on, man.
We go, yes! He's lost the plot, but we're going with it. Yeah. Yes! Come on, man.
Come on, man.
To be physical, you got to train physical. It's simple as that. Do the math. You think a boxer goes into a boxing match and does no sparring rounds with a bloke and gets knocked around in a boxing ring without... Come on, man. I don't believe this.
MJ, I should say... The new rules, at all levels, include a cap of 40 minutes of controlled contact training in which teams can utilise tackle shields or pads.
What, is this on top of the 15 a week?
I think so.
Oh, that's having your cake and eating it, boys.
You've got to be
Martha or Arthur. You can't be in the middle. Now, if the world governing body wants it, you're kind of trying to read between the lines and they want something implemented before the next World Cup in 2023. But this is not the way to do it. This World Cup they'll have tags on their shorts. They will have our first World Cup ever in rugby union, presented to you by Oztag.
All right. Bill Harrigan's putting his hand up the river.
Hey, we cannot be serious, man.
We've got to get out of here tomorrow. It is prelim final time. Say goodbye.
Oh, my goodness. If it wasn't true, it would be funny. As always, thanks so much for your time, because today we needed it. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay bloody random.